Good morning. My name is Rob, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I'd like to welcome everyone to the Galecto MYLOX-1 Intermediate Results Conference Call. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero from your telephone keypad. Please note this conference is being recorded. At this time, I'll hand the conference over to Jonathan Frieve. Jonathan, you may now begin.
Thank you, Rob. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Galecto MYLOX-1 Intermediate Assessment Conference Call. This morning, we issued a press release announcing results from an intermediate assessment of our MYLOX-1 trial, an open-label, single-arm phase IIa trial examining the use of GB2064 for the treatment of myelofibrosis. You can access the press release as well as the slides that we'll be reviewing today by going to the investor section of our website at www.galecto.com. Today on our call, Dr. Hans Schambye, our President and CEO, will discuss the intermediate results of the MYLOX-1 trial. Following the call, we will have a brief Q&A session. Before we get started, I would like to remind everyone that statements we make on this conference call will include forward-looking statements. Actual events or results could differ materially from those expressed or implied by any forward-looking statements as the result of various risks, uncertainties, and other factors, including those set forth in the Risk Factors section of our SEC filings. In addition, any forward-looking statement made on this call represents our views only as of today and should not be relied upon as representing our views as of any subsequent date. We specifically disclaim any obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements. Now, I would like to turn the call over to our CEO, Hans Schambye.
Thanks a lot, John, and a warm welcome from me to everybody joining the call. This is an exciting day for Galecto, and we really look forward to presenting the data and discussing these with you. So, just to remind everybody, Galecto is a clinical stage biotech company. We are entirely focused on developing small molecule therapeutics in the areas of oncology and fibrosis. We have two lead targets, Galectin-3 and LOXO-2, both of which have been shown to play central roles in the fibrosis cascade and in the tumor microenvironment. And we have very potent and specific inhibitors for these two proteins that we are developing. We have an advanced pipeline with four different phase II trials ongoing. This is in non-small cell lung cancer, in IPF, in myelofibrosis, where we'll be discussing the intermediate data today, and then in liver cirrhosis, where we have announced that we will be presenting data over the next couple of weeks, and we look forward to sharing that with you. This will be in a similar webcast as the one we're having today. All of these diseases represent very significant unmet medical needs, so there's a clear need for drugs that do what we hope our drugs will do. And also, these are multi-billion dollar markets, each in their own right, that we believe we can address. We are well capitalized. We had $86 million at the end of first half of this year, so we can afford running the four trials we have running right now, and we have cash way into the second half of 2024. So with that, now on to today's topic. And what we're announcing today is really unparalleled reduction in collagen fibrosis in patients with myelofibrosis. We believe this is unprecedented. What we have done in this trial is we've done repeated bone marrow biopsies in patients with myelofibrosis who were receiving treatment with our LOXO-2 inhibitor, GB2064. Today, we have the first five patients who are evaluable, who've had consecutive bone marrow biopsies and who have been treated with GB2064, and we are showing you the data today. And what we are seeing is a unique reduction in collagen bone marrow fibrosis seen in four out of five of the patients who we are able to report on today. So, and these responders show stable disease, which is a very exciting achievement in a progressive disease like myelofibrosis. So what we are demonstrating based on what we're seeing today is that we have potential for disease-modifying effects of GB2064 in myelofibrosis. We've shown that this is an anti-fibrotic compound that can be used also in other fibrotic diseases, and thereby we have also validated the enzyme LOXL2 as a clinical fibrosis target. All we believe are great achievements from this exciting trial. Just a brief background on myelofibrosis on slide number 5. This is a rare progressive disease with cancerous growth in the bone marrow that results in significant fibrosis, which reduces bone marrow function and therefore lead to anemia and thrombocytopenia. This is an orphan indication, but a very large market opportunity with sales of current drugs of around $2 billion per year. The standard of care today are JAK inhibitors, so which are significantly myelosuppressive, so they actually don't relieve the anemia, they can actually induce anemia. So there is a great need for drugs that are potentially disease-modifying in these patients. And on the following slide, I will highlight where those needs are in myelofibrosis. Clearly, as indicated on the left-hand side, prevention of the cancerous growth in the bone marrow is one target achievement for disease-modifying. The other is a reduction in the bone marrow fibrosis such that the bone marrows can start working again and patients can have a stable or potentially even an improved blood cell picture because of the working bone marrow. So if we look in the center are the key symptoms in these patients and the key goals for any treatment is to improve or stabilize the hemoglobin count so the patients don't suffer from anemia, to improve or stabilize the thrombocyte count so they don't suffer from risk of bleeding, stabilize the leukocyte count so they can protect themselves from infections. Then these patients also have enlarged spleens because the spleen has taken over the production of blood cells from the bone marrow, and therefore they get enlarged spleens, and they have general symptoms of cancer, including malaise, tiredness, etc., that are also relevant to address. If we look at then on the right-hand column of what can be achieved with therapy today, the JAK inhibitors don't improve the anemia. Some of them even worse than that, including Jakafee, which is the cornerstone treatment today. So Jakafee cannot be used in patients with severe anemia, and also patients have to stop Jakafee treatment because their anemia is worsened by the drug. The same applies for the thrombocytes, and also the leukocyte counts are not affected and are improved by the JAK inhibitors. The JAK inhibitors do work on spleen volume, and this is the surrogate endpoint that they've been approved upon, that they reduce the spleen volume. But it's very important to say that they don't improve or reduce the spleen volume because they have corrected the bone marrow function. They reduce it because of a direct effect of inhibiting the JAK target in the spleen. So they have not corrected the situation. They have just resulted in reductions in the spleen. And that also leads to improvement in the overall status for the patients. But clearly here, JAK inhibitors leave a lot on the table that's not concerned. They are not disease-modifying, and they are not addressing some of the key symptoms of myelofibrosis. LOXL2 is our target for GB2064. This is an enzyme that catalyzes the formation of collagen fibrosis. What it does is that it cross-links collagen fibrils to form a mesh, which is the backbone of fibrosis. This is the fibrosis that ultimately destroys the bone marrow function and can lead to even osteosclerosis, which closes the bone marrow so it cannot be made to work again. LOXL2 is the enzyme to be interested in. In the bar diagram, you see that LOXL2 is significantly upregulated in the bone marrow in contrast to other members of the LOX family of enzymes. So this is the enzyme that gets upregulated when you have fibrotic disease, and this is why we have developed a specific inhibitor of this enzyme. And on the right-hand side is an introduction of GB2064, showing that this molecule is able to completely block the activity of the LOXL2 enzyme with several different substrates. It's very selective for LOXL2. And we're also here showing the data from Gilead's antibody, simtuzumab, which was developed as a LOXL2 inhibitor, but actually only inhibited 40% of the enzyme activity and probably wasn't able to do that in the bone marrow. Simtuzumab failed in myelofibrosis, as in several other indications. But when you're looking at this data, seeing our drug being much more potent and, as I'll show you, delivered to the bone marrow, it's no surprise that there's a big difference in the activity we are seeing and what Gilead saw with simtuzumab. Why did we choose myelofibrosis as the first indication for GB2064? Well, we really wanted to have an opportunity to demonstrate proof of concept for the inhibition of LOXL2 on fibrosis, and specifically collagen fibrosis. For that, you need a disease where you can do repeated biopsies of the fibrotic tissue, and that is not readily available for most fibrotic diseases. In lung fibrosis or liver fibrosis, you cannot do repeated biopsies frequently. You can do that in myelofibrosis. So here, myelofibrosis was clearly an attractive disease to start looking at. We wanted to clearly differentiate GB2064 from the antibody inhibitors that had failed. And with data demonstrating that this compound inhibits collagen fibrosis, we could use this to build a program in fibrosis and also in cancer. Myelofibrosis is indeed also an interesting disease to go after. As I just highlighted, there is a strong need for disease-modifying agents, and reducing bone marrow fibrosis is centerpiece in order to achieve that. The fibrosis destroys the bone marrow function, so to give back the patients the ability to produce thrombocytes and red blood cells, you need to get rid of that fibrosis. So, and this is not addressed, as I stressed, by the JAK inhibitors or other agents in development. So, clearly, myelofibrosis in its own right is an attractive target for GB2064. Mylox 1 is our trial in myelofibrosis. This is an ongoing trial where we are treating patients for 9 months in an open-label design. This study is led by Serge Verstovsek from MD Anderson, a clear thought leader in the field of myelofibrosis. What we're doing in this trial is that we are putting patients who are not able to take JAK inhibitors on GB2064. We're following them for 9 months. And we do a bone marrow biopsy every 3 months. The biopsy at day one, and the biopsies at month 6 and month 9 are used to look at the fibrosis, the level of fibrosis, and how this has developed over time. The biopsy at month 3 is used to measure the amount of drug delivered to the bone marrow because we wanted to demonstrate that the compound gets into the fibrotic tissue. What we're showing today is an intermediate assessment. We're looking at the first five patients who have been treated for at least 6 months and who've had at least two bone marrow biopsies. So we can look at what happened since they started the treatment with GB2064. We have enrolled a total of 16 patients into this trial, and we have eight patients who are either on therapy right now or have completed, and we have eight patients who have dropped out for various reasons, most of them not related to the drug. This is on par with what you see in myelofibrosis trials. And then on to the exciting data. So on this slide, you see a quantification of the collagen fibrosis for each of the five patients. And you can see that patient number 1, 2, 4, and 5 all showed at least one grade reduction, and for patient number 5, a two-grade reduction in fibrosis over 6 or 9 months period. This is, as Serge Verstovsek said, wholly unprecedented in his view and very encouraging because reduction in collagen fibrosis has not been seen with other modalities. It's very exciting to see this validation of LOXO2. So, when you inhibit LOXO2 with GB2064, bone marrow no longer cross-links collagen as effectively as it did before, and that leads to a loss of collagen. So there's more space for the bone marrow to function. This is, of course, incredibly exciting. So, if you will, 80% of the patients are responders. And on the next slide, again, this is unparalleled, and we believe it is unprecedented. On the safety side, the adverse events we have seen have predominantly been grade 1 to 2 GI side effects that are acceptable in this patient population. We have demonstrated that the compound leads to a reduction in the fibrotic bone marrow, and we've shown that the compound gets into the fibrotic bone marrow, and that we have shown target engagement, so we see inhibition of the enzyme in plasma. So really several of the goals for this trial have been achieved. 4 out of 5 patients show a reduction, and then very importantly, these patients show stable disease. So they have stable spleen volumes and stable hematological parameters. And myelofibrosis is a progressive disease. So what you expect to see over 6 or 9 months is progression. You expect to see further anemia, further thrombocytopenia, and spleen volume enlargement. Here we see stabilization. And as Professor Harrison from London, who is also a thought leader in this area, says, she's very excited and encouraged by this fact. Showing stable disease is excellent in a progressive disease like myelofibrosis. And these may be an indication that what we're seeing is truly disease modifying. So, in summary, what we have shown today is a strong validation of LOXO2 as a target and of GB2064 as a fibrotic agent and also as an agent that has potential disease modifying effects in myelofibrosis. We expected that the enzyme would form collagen, and by inhibiting it, you would see a reduction. That's what we've seen. We've seen that designing a molecule that specifically goes after this enzyme and not the other LOX enzymes works. And myelofibrosis was the right place to go. Right? This is an unprecedented reduction in collagen fibrosis. We have the four responders that all show stable disease, and there's an acceptable safety profile with the compound. For us in Galecto, this is the first time we announce data from an internally run clinical trial since we went public. And the first of the four very attractive shots we have on goal, and this is, of course, incredibly exciting to see that we've validated the target, that we've shown that the compound is truly antifibrotic, and there are not many antifibrotic drugs on the market or in development. So having a true antifibrotic is highly attractive. And that the reduction in this bone marrow fibrosis we're seeing here is potentially disease modifying, that we, in contrast to the JAK inhibitors, can provide the patients with stable disease, which is much better than the progressive disease you see in spite of patients being on JAK inhibitors. So we are definitely excited about where we are and the results from this trial. Thanks a lot, and with that, we are happy to take questions.
Thank you. At this time, we'll be conducting a question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question today, please press star 1 from your telephone keypad, and a confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Thank you. Thank you. And our first question is from the line of Alec Stranahan with Bank of America. Please proceed with your questions.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking our questions, and congrats on the update. Two from us. First, on the AE profile, curious if you're seeing any new AEs from what you saw in the Phase 1 Healthy Volunteer study, and any that you point to that are maybe unique to the disease setting in MF. And I guess as a follow-up to that, could you just remind us as to the profile of the 1 gram dose in the Phase 1 study that led to selection for the Phase 2? And second, on the fibrotic impacts, certainly encouraging to see an effect here on collagen fibrosis. I guess any sense from your physician conversations or the literature correlating grade of fibrotic reduction to impact on disease progression longer term? Obviously tough to draw a parallel given the current standard of care sort of misses this fibrosis aspect of the disease. Thanks.
Thank you, Alex. Very good questions. So in terms of the side effect profile, we're not seeing anything that we didn't see in the Phase 1, at least not when we're looking at adverse events that are deemed as likely probable related to the drug, right? Obviously, when you're running trials these times, you have patients that develop COVID, right? And that is that needs to be reflected as an AE, but it doesn't have anything to do with the drug. So we are seeing GI effects so nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea that for most of the patients was manageable with standard therapy and did not prevent them from being on the drug. We had two patients that dropped out because of GI side effects. Apart from that, nothing new has come up that is probably ascribable to the drug. So we confirm a positive safety profile. We are indeed, as you say, using 1 gram twice daily of the compound, which was the maximal tolerable dose from the repeated dosing in healthy volunteers. And now, of course, we have dosed for much longer, for more than 9 months for a couple of patients in this trial. And that does not seem to be an issue for the patients. With regarding to how to interpret the data and what the probable ultimate clinical effects may be of reducing fibrosis, clearly, you see the excitement from Harrison and the staff sec, both saying this is unique. We haven't seen this reduction in collagen fibrosis, which is, the patients with severe disease that have collagen built up that are completely unaffected by current therapy. And seeing one grade reduction means that there is more room in that bone marrow to ultimately, keep the bones, the blood cell production going. I think it's too early to try to correlate and understand how much reduction do you need, but the fact that those patients that are responders on the fibrosis side also show stable disease, certainly for us hints that that there's a good correlation here. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, that's great, Hans. Thanks, and congrats again.
Thanks a lot, Eric.
Our next questions come from the line of Thomas Smith with SVB Securities. Please proceed with your questions.
Hey guys, good morning. Thanks for taking the questions, and let me add my congrats here on the early data. Just maybe to start on the patients you enrolled, can you just help characterize, I guess, those that you've enrolled in the study so far and those that received these 6 and 9 month biopsies? You know, do you have a split between low risk or high risk patients, and what proportion of previously failed JAK inhibitors versus those who may have been ineligible?
Yes, thanks, Tom. Good question. So we have 7 of the patients out of the 16 that we've enrolled in the trial have previously been on JAK inhibitors, so have stopped either due to a lack of tolerance or because the drug has stopped working as we know they do. So the rest had not, and there are various reasons for that, you know, either anemia or expected intolerance or other things. Clearly, this is an intermediate data analysis. There's a lot of data out there that that we will still be going on, and when we're reporting the full data set, we will have a much deeper understanding of that situation. So these are all patients with advanced disease. Biopsy verified myelofibrosis. So these are patients that that have a severe and progressive disease.
Okay, got it. And then on the efficacy side, can you remind us just how you're evaluating the bone marrow biopsies? Are you using single reader or multiple readers? And are you planning to incorporate any other technologies or, I guess, analyses to help quantify, you know, some of the changes that that you're seeing here on fibrosis?
Yes, we are using a centralized read, so it's one pathologist who are reading all the slides. And we believe that is the right way to go about a trial of this size. Clearly, there are AI methods out there, and we are monitoring that and considering whether this can be applied either in this trial or in future trials. We are following the patients also with biomarkers, et cetera. These are, again, data that will come when we have the full data set to further validate. Collagen fibrosis is a pretty objective thing to look at for a pathologist. And therefore, seeing this very consistent reduction in 4 of the 5 patients is very meaningful.
Okay, got it. And then maybe just lastly, if I could ask you to just expand a little bit, I guess, on your conversations with investigators. Like it certainly appears like you're having a disease-modifying impact here. Do you have a sense of expectation, or investigators have a sense of expectation in terms of when changing the course of the underlying disease could manifest in symptom improvement?
What we're seeing is symptom stabilization. And I have to say that with a big caveat when you're looking at such a small data set, right? And symptom assessment is always tricky business, but we're not seeing symptom aggravation. That's clear. We have a couple of patients who have gone into the extension phase of the trial, and which means that they've seen symptom improvement or other signs of improvement. Clearly, in this area, stable disease is exciting. And once we get to running a placebo-controlled trial, potentially on shock, on top of the JAK inhibitors, then that is what we'll be looking for, because that will be a very meaningful clinical result, as you also see from the reactions from Harrison and Verstovsek.
Okay, got it. Super helpful. Thanks, guys, for taking the questions, and congrats again on the data.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Much appreciated.
The next question is from Sebastian van der Schoek with Kempen. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, team. Good morning and afternoon for everyone. Thank you for taking my question. And congrats on the data. I'm just wondering whether you can talk a little bit about the possibilities you see to combine this drug with other maybe myelosuppressive compounds in the future, and then also maybe talk a little bit about the safety profile that you see. Were those 8 patients that did not make the 6 months, did they discontinue because of tox effects, or were there other reasons?
Thanks, Sebastian. Also very good questions. Yes, we clearly see potential for combining this drug in the myelofibrosis field. Clearly what Incyte is doing with Jakafi today is encouraging everybody else to go on top of Jakafi, recognizing that there are lots of shortcomings with the effects of that compound. So that is certainly a logical next step. And we are, of course, also following the field with the advancement of other drugs that could be attractive to combine with. So this is a topic we will be discussing with regulators and be part of the future planning for this compound. But clearly, the data we have today has opened up multiple doors, both within myelofibrosis and also beyond. On the safety side, these patients that we follow over time, some have also dropped out after the 6 months. So the patient who progressed, for instance, has dropped out subsequently because of lack of effect. So there are different reasons for dropping out when you are dealing with very sick patients. As I said, we had patients with COVID. We had another who had severe pneumonia and another who had sepsis, all deemed unrelated to GB2064, but very common in this patient population. And then the only SAEs we've had that have been probably related to GB2064 is actually a fall. So the patient fell over. And then a case of diarrhea, which is the only grade 3 that we've seen in this trial. So really nothing that highlights that we should be concerned about the safety profile. And for an early trial like this, it is on par with what other companies are experiencing. Myelofibrosis is a field with a lot of activity. Several companies are active running trials, both big and small. So there's a competition for getting the right patients. But as Stofsek has told us, this data is certainly going to help investigators be very interested in the trial and also interested in getting their patients into the trial. So we think that's very exciting.
Great. And then maybe a follow-up question. The PR also mentioned that there were 4 patients that did not need transfusions anymore. Can you indicate whether all these patients were transfusion dependent before enrolling?
That is not data we have at this time. So what we're saying is that it's stable. So it hasn't changed from the previous. So their anemia is stable. Right? So some patients have received transfusions in the past, and clearly that data is collected not under GCP. So a lot less. Reliable than what's happening after you enroll into a trial.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, and congrats again on the data.
Thanks a lot, Sebastian.
Thank you. There are no more questions at this time, and I would like to turn the conference back to Hans for closing remarks.
Thanks a lot, Ron. Thanks a lot, everybody, for the good questions. I hope you've enjoyed this presentation of MyLUX-1. We're clearly excited. We think we've shown something that nobody has shown before in this field and even across other fibrotic indications. So excited for the company and excited for the patients. We expect to announce data also from our liver cirrhosis trial in the next couple of weeks and have a similar webcast. Until then, I wish everybody a great rest of your day.
This concludes today's conference. You may disconnect at this time, and thank you for your participation.